We invite you to take your Bible once again and turning to the portion which we read together, Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. In this chapter, we find Peter, the big fisherman, receiving a call from the Lord Jesus Christ to leave the fishing and to go into the business of fishing for souls. Peter was called by Jesus to be a soul winner. Now, Peter, of course, was a converted man. God only calls converted men to preach his word. Now, I know there are many in the work of the Lord who are not converted. But how we ought to rejoice, and I'm sure we all do, praise God, that there's not an unconverted man standing in the pulpit of our churches today. That's a great blessing to have. Men who are saved by the grace of God, who have experienced the truth of the gospel, and the Holy Spirit enabling them to make that truth known to others. Peter was a converted man. How blessed Peter was. Peter was blessed that he had a Christian in the home. He had, of course, his own brother Andrew. And it's interesting to note that Andrew was a follower of John the Baptist. And Andrew heard John preach. And the scripture says he followed Jesus. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, if you would like to turn to it by way of introduction, we find that John's preaching that great message, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That's a great text. We do well to preach and make known to men and women that Jesus is the Lamb, and he alone can take away our sin. We find in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 29, that was the message of John. We find in, again in verse 36, "And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." That's what we want to note throughout the message this morning, that men and women who know the Lord will fully follow the Lord. We see again here that one of those disciples was Andrew, verse 40. "And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon's Peter's brother." Verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon. And then you'll notice verse 42, "and he brought him to Jesus." If Andrew never had done anything else in the service of the Lord, what he had accomplished was tremendous. He brought his brother to Jesus. My dear friends, that's where we ought to start, at home. Remember the Lord Jesus said, "Ye shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem at home." What a blessing it is to have a Christian in the home. Could I say a word to you who are unconverted? You today who maybe take the gospel for granted. You enjoy coming to church, but you're not saved. And there's a Christian in your home. What a witness that is. And there's a blessing for every home where there's a Christian. Do you remember reading about Joseph? How the Lord blessed the house of Potiphar because of Joseph. God blesses the witness of every Christian in the home. Mother, father, God blesses your witness in the home to the children. How we need to live godly and walk uprightly, in order that Christ will be uplifted before the family, in order that they might come to the Savior. I love to hear people testify and hear them say, "My mommy pointed me to the Lord. When I was just a child, I knelt at my daddy's knee and he pointed me to Jesus." Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. And may we, like Andrew, bring men and women to our lovely Savior. So first of all, we want you to notice that Peter was a converted man. And it was at this converted man that the Lord Jesus called to be a fisher of men. As we look this morning at the call of Peter, I want you to see Peter's call associated with his boat. You can't separate God's call to Peter from the boat. We find Peter loaning his boat to the Lord Jesus. We find Peter launching his boat for the Lord Jesus. And then, beloved, we find Peter leaving his boat for the Lord Jesus. Oh, I pray the Lord will come strangely near and bless his word to our hearts this morning. That it'll not just be information. That we'll not just hear another sermon and it'll be information. But my earnest prayer for this meeting, that the Lord would take his precious word and touch your heart and bless my heart. I need blessed this morning. You need blessed. And praise God, there's a blessing for us. I read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, blessed are they that heareth. May we hear the word of the Lord this morning. May the Lord speak plainly and personally to all of our hearts. May we leave God's house rejoicing. Say of a truth, the Lord met with me in that house and blessed his word to my heart. May he do so to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here in the scriptures that we have opened before us in Luke chapter 5, but you'll notice the last verse of chapter 4 that the Savior was preaching in the synagogues. The Lord Jesus preached in the synagogues. We read at verse 44, and he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. And then if you go back up the chapter a little, you'll discover at verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Notice it was the Savior's practice to go to the house of God. It concerns me that there are those today who profess to be Christians. They'll go to God's house in the morning, but they don't go back in the evening. You'll notice it was the custom of our Savior to attend the house of God. You'll notice he preached in the synagogues. And you'll notice he preached, verse 43, the kingdom of God to other cities also. For therefore am I sent. The Lord Jesus preached in the synagogues and the meeting houses. But most of our Savior's preaching was in the open air. And vast multitudes gathered to hear him. Of course, he's the incarnated word of God. No one could draw crowds like the Lord Jesus. And one day there was an exceptionally large crowd. And they're met on the seashore. And you'll notice where we read, it says there they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful in Ulster if men and women were pressing into the house of God to hear the word of the Lord? They pressed upon the Lord Jesus to hear his word. There was this vast multitude gathered around him. And the Savior is facing the multitude. His back is to the sea and the crowd is tremendous. And he has a wonderful idea. He has the idea that he'll get into a ship, move the ship a little from the seashore, and address the people as they stood on the seashore. Wonderful, wonderful idea. But there was a problem with that idea. The Lord Jesus didn't have a ship. Our Savior, who created this world, he created the heaven and the earth, created the oceans. The Lord Jesus, who created the very Sea of Galilee, didn't have a boat to sail on that sea. And so the Lord Jesus borrowed a boat. And Peter loaned his boat to the Lord Jesus. Just as simple as that. The Lord Jesus made a request to Peter here for his boat. And I want to say to you, first of all, that this request that the Lord Jesus made was an inconvenient request. It was most inconvenient for Peter. Now, I say so for three reasons. You'll notice here that Peter was busy. Verse 2 tells us that they were washing their nets. There had been a night of fishing, and the nets would be filled with debris and various things. And to go out the next time to fish, the net had to be clean. So when they came in from fishing, the fishermen would wash their nets, and that's what Peter was doing when the Lord Jesus said, launch out a little. And Peter here was busy. And then you'll notice not only was Peter busy, but you'll notice he was tired. He had been up all night and he was tired. The Lord Jesus requested Peter and Peter's time, Peter's services, and we learn in a moment Peter's possessions in order to advance the kingdom. He needed Peter, even though Peter was tired. He needed Peter, even though he was busy. I'm saying to you, it was an inconvenient request because Peter was tired, Peter was busy, and you'll notice Peter was dejected. He had been fishing all night. He's downcast, he's disappointed. I would say without any hesitation that Peter was not in the best of mood when the Lord Jesus requested made this request to him. He needed Peter. He needed Peter's services. He needed Peter's boat, as we will learn in a moment, in order to address that vast multitude that stood upon the seashore. And here Peter's priorities are being tested. And sometimes the Lord tests our priorities. What is first and what is most important in our lives? You see, the lesson here is plain for us. Just as the Lord Jesus needed Peter, I say to you without any hesitation that the Lord Jesus needs you, brother. He needs you, sister. He needs you. He needs your time. He needs your service. And he needs some of your possessions to advance the cause of Christ. The lesson is plain. The lesson to us today, the Lord speaks to us. He calls us even when we are busy. He calls us even if we are tired. He calls us even if we are disappointed. You see, the request to Peter was most inconvenient. But this request was not only inconvenient. You'll notice there was an investment in this request. The Lord Jesus here was wanting Peter's boat. And he said to Peter, launch out a little into the deep. Maybe the Lord's saying that to you this morning. Launch out a little. Launch out a little from the land. Or sorry, thrust out a little from the land. Thrust out a little in prayer. Thrust out a little in Bible study. Thrust out a little in witnessing. Thrust out a little in evangelism. Surely in this world in which we live, when we see sin abounding in every hand, surely, surely, the Lord is saying to us personally, thrust out a little. There is something we can do for our Lord and for our Savior and for the good of our fellow man. Notice here that this request that the Lord Jesus made of Peter, there was the investment. Not only was the request inconvenient, but he's saying to Peter here, I need your boat. Notice the request. He's requesting Peter's possession, Peter's boat, namely his boat. Oh, isn't the lesson again plain for us? The Lord needs you as a person, and he needs your possessions in order to extend the kingdom. Isn't there a question arises in our heart? Are we available? The Lord Jesus needs you. Do you remember that he needed the little donkey? He was going to go into Jerusalem. He had no animal to travel on. And those that asked, why loose the colt? The master hath need of him. I want to emphasize that. Even at the expense of repetition, God needs you as a person. And he needs your possessions. That's what he's asking here Peter for. He's saying to Peter, thrust out a little from the land. And so he's requesting the use of Peter's boat. And so we find that here that the request came to Peter. Came, as we have noticed, when it was inconvenient. And notice that Peter responded to the request. But while that request was inconvenient, while that request involved an investment to invest Peter's time and Peter's boat and his possessions and so forth, I want you to notice that the request was most important. The Lord Jesus here had a message for these people. This vast multitude there that stood on the seashore, he had to preach to them. He had to get the gospel across them. He had to bring this message of repentance to them. In order to do it, he needed Peter. He needed Peter's boat. He needed Peter's time in order to get that important message out to that crowd that stood that day on the seashore. My dear friends, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, thrust out a little. And Peter responded. There was no hesitation. Peter responded to the request. Are you going to respond to the request? The challenge is to you. The challenge is to me. How will we respond to this request? Do you remember reading about Isaiah? Isaiah was in the temple the year King Uzziah died. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw the holiness of the Lord. And he saw his own sinfulness When you read the previous chapter, Isaiah 5, Isaiah is saying, woe unto them that call evil good, and woe unto them that mingle drink, and so forth. But in Isaiah 6, where he sees the Lord, he sees his own sinfulness, and he says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then he was cleansed. A seraphim took the coal from off the altar, speaks to us of the cross, speaks to us of the place of sacrifice, touched his servant, and then he heard the call. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And Isaiah replied, here am I, send me. And so we'll notice here that the Lord is speaking to our hearts. My dear friends, Peter heard the voice of Jesus. He had the word of Jesus. He knew the will of Jesus. Thrust out a little. And Peter responded and loaned his boat to the Lord Jesus and just moved it out from the seashore. And our Savior got that tremendous message across to the vast multitude that stood on the seashore. But then I want you to notice in the second place that Peter not only loaned his boat to the Lord Jesus, but you notice he launched his boat for the Lord Jesus. And there's so much for us to grasp and lay to heart here in these verses. Notice here that the Savior said in verse 4, Luke 5, verse 4, Simon, launch into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Peter now was learning lessons here. He was learning that no service goes unrewarded. There was going to be this great catch of fish. Let down your net for a draught. Notice the command of the Lord Jesus. Here's the Lord Jesus saying to Peter, this experienced fisherman, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now think for a moment about what Peter has heard here. This command had come to Peter, a man who was experienced in fishing, a man who knew the Sea of Galilee probably better than any other fisherman. And the Lord Jesus is saying to him, commanding him, launch out into the deep. The commands of God come to his brother and sister. And remember, his commands are not grievous. Peter loaned his boat to the Lord Jesus. That meant commitment. Now Peter is launching his boat for the Lord Jesus. That meant a challenge. What a challenge for Peter. Peter here, he had known, we have already said, and he's asked here and challenged here to go out in the daytime to fish. In Galilee, in the Sea of Galilee, they went out to fish at night. At 12 o'clock tonight, the fishermen will leave Kilkeel. They will leave our glass. They will leave Port of Ogie. They will go out to fish. And here's the Lord Jesus saying to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. Remember, the crowd are watching. And here's Peter now faced with this great challenge. What will he do? The challenge that was against human wisdom. The challenge that was against all that Peter knew about fishing. The challenge which came, which was contrary to circumstances and to his situation. God's call so often is like that. If I could use a personal illustration. When God called me to the, a young man, 19, I vowed that I would give all that I had to the Lord, I would serve the Lord. And life just continued on. I had a good job, it was well paid, company car. But I'd met a girl, I'd got married, I had responsibilities. And God says, what about the call? Reminding me of the call. Now I had a wife to responsible for. I had a brother-in-law who was ill. I was responsible. The command came at a time that was against my circumstances. It was against all human wisdom. How could I leave my responsibility? It required faith. And God answered prayer and undertook in a most unique way. My brother-in-law who was ill and disabled met a girl and got married, and she cared for him. I was able to go into the ministry. Thank God for the Free Presbyterian Church. I was accepted and trained, and has had the opportunity of serving the Lord almost 50 years in the Free Church. How good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend. You see, the call and the challenge came to Peter. Yes, we've already said the request was inconvenient, but surely the challenge was also inconvenient. And yet we find the Lord's servant here, we find Peter responding to the call. Peter obeyed the Lord. You see, the Lord Jesus here commanded Peter, and Peter was challenged. And brother and sister, notice the great catch of fish. This is wonderful. Now, as you read the writers, the gospel, you will discover that there are three particular catches of fish mentioned. There's this, the one we have before us. And then we have the one where the Lord Jesus told Peter to let down the line, and Peter brought up the fish with a coin in his mouth. We read about that in Matthew 17. And then after the resurrection, we find Peter here goes back to the fishing. If you just turn for a moment, the last chapter of John's Gospel, chapter 21. And notice what we learn here. John's Gospel, chapter 21, Peter goes to the fishing, and the Lord Jesus speaks to Peter. They've caught nothing again. And he said, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Do you know how many they caught? Look at verse 11. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. Did you ever wonder why that number was given? Old Bible scholars tell us that there was 153 different species in the Sea of Galilee. And if that was so, was it possible? Yes. Tremendous miracle. Every possibility that one of every species was brought into Peter's net. What a great catch. But we're looking here at Luke chapter 5. And there's the great catch of fish. I want you to notice the size of the catch. Notice this, brother and sister. Notice what the Lord Jesus said. Peter is challenged. And notice the word nevertheless. Verse 5, and Simon answered unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, it's against my experience in fishing. It's against my circumstances. It's against everything I know. But at your word, I'll obey your word. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned on their partners, and they were in the other ship. Notice the great multitude of fish and the net break. Could I just say a word about the net breaking? Notice what the Lord Jesus said to Peter. Let down the nets. Those fishing boats had two nets. Peter says, I'll let down a net. Let's read it again. Verse 4. Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Oh, the net break. There was a tear in the net. I often wondered how many fish got away. Peter let down the net. When the word of the Lord was let down the net. Oh, you see the size of the catch. A great multitude. Brother and sister, be encouraged. The Lord Jesus can fill the net. He can fill the boat. He knows where the fish are. He knows where men and women are in Lisburn. He knows those tonight or this day. And praise God, as the gospel net is cast forth, they can be brought safely into the net. He can fill the boat. Praise God, he can fill our churches with seeking souls. Oh, let's pray to that end, that the Lord Jesus, who knows the hearts of all men, will draw men and women to himself, and that our churches will be filled with praying men and praying women. Notice here, could I just pass a word and say a word in passing, that there was cooperation in the catch. Great multitude of fish were caught, but notice there was harmony, there was cooperation. Verse 7, And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Oh, my dear friends, listen, we're laborers together in the work. Our missionaries are on the field. We're at home paying and praying for them. You see, we are cooperating together. And God blesses those who, where there is that cooperation. I was thinking there about that, the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I read in Matthew and Mark chapter 16 that they had heard the commission and the disciples went forth. The last verse in Mark chapter 16. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. What blessing there is when there's cooperation. Cooperation, working with your minister, praying with your minister, evangelizing, taking part in the door-to-door visitation, bringing men and women into the church. There's a work for you to do. Jesus needs you. And may all of us be obedient to the word of the Lord and to the will of the Lord. I was reading a very interesting illustration some years ago about cooperation. I was reading about horsepower, not combustion, horsepower, but the big animal. A big horse could pull 9,000 pounds. So they yoked another horse, another big horse, and wouldn't you expect the two horses to pull 18,000 pounds? Those two horses worked together, yoked together, walking and working in harmony, pulled 30,000 pounds. Isn't that wonderful? When we work together, what blessing this. That's how it was in the early church. There was harmony, there was unity, fellowship was sweet, and God blessed the work. Do you know that's what he has promised to do? In Psalm 133, he tells us, there I have commanded the blessing. Oh, may the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. So we have been learning lessons, and I'm so conscious of the time. There's Peter. He loaned his boat to Jesus. He launched his boat for Jesus. Now, beloved, here we come to the climax. Here's Peter leaving his boat for the Lord Jesus. Now we have Peter here is astonished, and so are all the disciples. And so is John, Peter, James, and John. Now, notice what he says. The Savior said, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Here was the Lord calling these men. And we're thinking particularly of the call to Peter. Notice what's recorded for us in Mark chapter 1 and verse 17. Mark 1 and verse 17. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Peter left his boat for the Lord Jesus. He's called now to full-time service. And there are four things we just have time to mention very quickly. Notice the precept for this service, or the precept and the call, if you like. Notice the call was to service, but you'll notice the Savior, who has all authority, who's the sole head and only King of the church, he says, follow me, come. Let's just look at that verse again. Mark 1:17. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me. He's saying to us this morning, I know my sheep, and my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. How close are you, brother, today to our Savior? What has the Savior said to you today? Are you close enough to hear what he says to you? Have you the ear of the Savior speaking to you, saying, this is the way, walk you in it? Notice here this precept, follow me. There's the command, follow me. And that command is just applicable today to you and me, as it was to the fishermen almost 2,000 years ago. Notice not only the precept, but notice the command. I will make you, from henceforth, I'll make you fishers of men. Yes, but notice in verse 10, fear ye not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Oh, there's the promise for service. I would say to you this morning, brother and sister, make that the prayer of your heart for our ministers. Make that the prayer of your heart for our missionaries, that they'll be fishers of men. They'll know how to cast the fishing net, the great gospel net, that they'll be able to bring it in with precious souls. Pray, pray as you never done before for our ministers and for our missionaries. We need to know the old-time power, the old-time blessing. Oh, I pray that the Lord will blow again upon the free church, that the glorious rays of the gospel will go forth. We will know the wind of the Spirit blowing upon us, and God blessing every meeting, blessing every man that stands behind the desk, that he'll know the anointing of the Lord upon him, and he'll be a fisher of men. He'll be a soul winner. Notice there the promise. But then I want you to notice the price. Oh, Peter was called. He had the precept of the call. He had the promise for the work. But you'll notice there was a price. Peter left all. It says there in Luke chapter 5, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Oh, my dear friends, there's the big fisherman. He's leaving all. Remember, he had a wife. He had a mother-in-law. He had a business. He's leaving everything to follow the Lord. He's got God's call. There's no hesitation. There's no procrastination. He heard the word of the Lord. He knew the will of the Lord. And he wholly followed the Lord. There was a price involved. Peter, James, and John, they left. They followed. They left their father in the ship, and they followed the Lord. There's a cost involved. And so I say there was no postponement. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I feel the Spirit, the Lord would have me pause there for a moment. There's the call to salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the call to come to Christ and get saved. Today, men and women who are the Lord's, today is a day for service. Don't put the matter off any longer. Come to Christ. I can never understand why men who know they should be saved and could be saved put the matter off. Do you remember old Pharaoh? Old Pharaoh had the plagues of frogs. And like many others, when he was in trouble, he sent for God's man. He asked Moses to come and pray and treat the Lord to take away the frogs. And Moses said, when? When do you want rid of the frogs? Do you know what he said? Tomorrow. Give me another night with the frogs. And men and women sit under the sound of the gospel, the preacher preaching with an anointing of the Lord upon him, the tears running down his cheek, and the sinner almost converted. And he's saying, give me another night with my sin. And he puts off the all-important decision of coming and putting his faith in Christ. And we who are the Lord's, how often we put the matter off of serving, we'll do it tomorrow. Peter obeyed the Lord. He heard God's call, and he followed the Savior. One final thing. Notice the position in service. As you read the Gospels, you will discover that the list of the disciples will find the list four times. And each time, the name Peter comes first. I find that most interesting. Let me give you one reference just for the sake of time. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter. Peter is first in the list of the disciples. And then the Lord Jesus had the inner circle of three. Peter, James, and John. You don't read about James and John and Peter. It's always Peter. Peter is first. First in service. First in action. Remember how it was in Pentecost? Oh yes, I know we feel the Lord. Young man, young woman, maybe you feel the Lord. Let me say this to you. That failure with our God is never final. Peter felt the Lord miserably. But he was restored. He repented. He wept over his sin. And he was repentant. And on the day of Pentecost, we find him first in prayer. And we find him first preaching the word. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 1, first of all. They have gone out to the Mount of Olives. The Savior has gone up to heaven. He's entered in, set upon the throne. And the disciples went to the place of prayer. And I read in Acts chapter 1 that there they are in the place of prayer. And you'll notice what it says. Verse 14, these all continued with accord in prayer and supplication. Notice again the harmony, the unity. The women are there, they're praying. And there's Mary and his brethren. And the last time you read of Mary, she's on her knees praying to our Father. Now, notice what happens. Notice here who speaks. You'll notice here that it is Peter. Peter gets up. And he addresses the crowd as they are assembled. There's 120 of them there in the upper room. And Peter addresses them and he brings a message to them. Notice what it says at verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room and abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew. And we find the list of the disciples. And then you'll notice that Peter speaks to them and he tells them that they are there and they're there in the place of prayer and Peter speaks to them. But then notice on the day of Pentecost, there at verse 14, Acts 2, verse 14, but Peter standing up with 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them. Notice that Peter is first in prayer, he's first in preaching. Brother and sister, that's what we need. That's the secret. Be at the place of prayer. Pray for your preacher. Oh, how the responsibility is upon the people. Yes, there's great responsibility upon the preaching, getting the message from the Lord and bringing it in the power of the Holy Ghost. But there needs to be prayer. The people prayed and the Holy Ghost moved upon their hearts. And Peter preached the word and 3,000 were gloriously, wonderfully saved. Aren't there many lessons for us to learn in the book? Oh, that the Lord would make us men and women of prayer. Make us men and women who can proclaim the word of the Lord. When you think of Peter, think of the lessons there are for you to learn. Very simple outline for you to remember. Peter launched his boat for the Lord. First of all, he loaned his boat to the Lord. He launched his boat for the Lord. And then he left his boat for the Lord. Maybe God is speaking to some person to leave their all on the altar today. Make a full surrender and just say, Lord, I'm available. And my possessions are available. Take them and use them for the glory of God and for the extension of thy kingdom. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this time around your word. Oh, Lord, we pray that we, like Peter, will hear your word. We, like Peter, will know your will. Oh, Father, help us to know the will of God. Help us to follow the will of God. Help us to fulfill the will of God in order that the Lord Jesus, the sole head and only King of the church, will have all the praise and all the glory. Lord, take of what has been of thyself. Bless it savingly and abidingly to all of our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.